In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Ryssdal. It is Friday, March the 23rd. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Yes, fine, there was lots of political news this week. I will grant you that. I would offer, though, that the business and economic news was equally compelling and perhaps even more vital in the long run. So that is where we're going to start. Catherine Rempel is with The Washington Post. Rachel Abrams is with The New York Times. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey.
So, Catherine, let me start with you. The president today signed, after saying he would veto, he signed the $1.3 trillion spending plan that gets us through the end of September. He did also say, though, that he's never, ever going to sign another one of these omnibus spending plans again. And I wonder if the president has perhaps backed himself into a corner, given the way the Congress of the United States works.
I don't think he's going to actually keep to that promise. like many other things that he has said that he has since walked back or changed his mind on, this seems like it would be very difficult to keep to, given our pattern in the last few years, maybe decades, I think, at this point, of not actually passing budget bills on any sort of regular order schedule.
Rachel, though, it was kind of an extraordinary moment in the diplomatic room of the White House. The president took a long, long time to air a long list of grievances about the way the government gets funded and what's in this bill and what's not.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole day has been a bit of sort of political whiplash for people living in Washington or anybody really following this. You know, I think that Republican leaders were pretty confident that the president was going to sign this. And then he comes out and says that he's not going to sign it. And then he eventually, of course, does. And one of the things that's sort of interesting about this is, you know, if the government had actually shut down, it's not like we haven't seen shutdowns before, but this one would have been solely the responsibility of the president, which probably would have cost a lot of political capital that nobody he didn't want to spend.
Right.
It's not clear what he would have gotten out of it.
Yeah.
Also.
Other than just being able to say, I did this, right? I mean, which would seem to be, in his vernacular, no small thing, right?
I mean, if he wants to throw a tantrum, he can throw a tantrum, but it's not clear what policy objective he would actually achieve.
All right. So let's change policy objectives here for a second from funding the federal government and fiscal policy to trade policy. Catherine, I want to play a piece of tape from the announcement event that the president held. I think it was Wednesday, announcing those China specific tariffs, $60 billion worth of imported goods that he wants to put extra duties on. And he said this, talking about the Chinese government.
I've been speaking with the highest Chinese representatives, including the president. And I've asked them to reduce the trade deficit immediately by $100 billion. It's a lot.
It is a lot. But, Catherine, let me ask you this. And you and I and others in this segment have talked before about how the president is perhaps economically inconsistent. He doesn't seem to realize that when we send $100 billion of American money over to China, we get stuff from them. And that's the way trade deficits work.
Yes. American consumers benefit from the fact that we can buy lots of cheap Chinese products. And if you're going to complain about something that the Chinese government has been doing, you should be complaining about their IP violations, their intellectual property violations, which is actually what this memorandum was supposed to be targeting. Besides, you know, forget what actually Trump said in that signing ceremony. The thing that China has been doing wrong has been basically stealing our IP or forcing American companies to hand over their technology if they want access to the Chinese market. And that's what we should be targeting. And there's a smart way to do that, which is like through the WTO, for example, or working with our allies, and there's a dumb way, which is tariffs, and unfortunately, Trump is emphasizing the tariffs.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about IP, actually, in a minute with Jennifer Pack from Shanghai, but that's exactly the point. Rachel, let me play another piece of tape for you. This one is Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce, on CNBC after that same event, and here is what the Secretary of Commerce said. Here he is, Wilbur Ross.
Oh, I think there will be some ultimate retaliation, but I don't think it's going to be the end of the earth.
So, first of all, not the end of the earth seems an interesting way to approach trade policy. But more to the point, the phrase trade war is getting bandied about quite a bit, but it's a real issue for a lot of people.
It is. And I think what you're seeing now is, and maybe this is sort of reflected in Wilbur Ross's statements, it might not be the end of the earth at this moment, that the tariffs that China imposed on American products, on fruit, pork, wine and a couple other things. They're not as extreme as China could be imposing. They're as Catherine mentioned when we were chatting earlier, they're sort of feeling us out. You know, if China decided to, say, put a tariff on soybeans, which is a major U.S. export to China, that would be apocalyptic for a lot of our soybean growers in the United States. So these are really meant to kind of send a warning shot over the tariffs that we put on steel and aluminum, but it could get a lot worse, basically.
Mm-hmm. In a very short period of time. Rachel Abrams at the New York Times, Catherine Rampell from the Washington Post in our studios in New York. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, guys.